This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW. And joining me is Bill Honig, who is the former superintendent of public instruction in California and a real strong spokesperson for high-quality public education for every single child. Now, Bill, one of the things that's going on is, quite frankly, there is a challenge to the quality education in California and throughout the nation. And what are those things that are sort of hovering out there that we should be aware of?
Well, Carol, I think the first thing to talk about is, are we adequately funding our schools? And in California, we were way, way low compared to the rest of the nation. Under Governor Brown, we've come back quite a bit, and schools are now getting a new formula, which helps out those low-cost or low-income schools, but we still have a ways to go. And I think over the next years, we're going to be talking about different ways of increasing the funding for our public schools.
So a big challenge to public education is our failure to adequately fund our schools. And what's the implication of that?
Well, the difference between in California and the rest of the country is they can afford counselors, they can afford professional development for teachers, they can have lower class sizes. Money makes a difference. Research is pretty clear on that, or very clear on that. When you increase funding by a certain percentage, you get a certain percentage increase in performance. They're connected.
You know, some of the research that I've seen is that it is really particularly important for low-income communities.
Yeah, that's correct. And we have an opportunity now with, under the recent tax legislation federally, there are some opportunities for California to use that bill to increase funding for schools. For example, corporations got a very, very strong tax help. And that means that in California, we've had a Proposition 13, not for homeowners, but for corporations get a windfall. And it's called the split role idea, which means their taxes don't get refigured each year the way homeowners do when they sell it. So they've had this loophole. And since they've got an increased money, it would be fairly easy then just to recapture some of that and put that in for public schools. I think it raises $11 to $12 billion, of which the schools get four or five. That's not going to do the whole trick, but it's sure a good start.
So that's an interesting idea, and that is that at the federal level, corporations have gotten a windfall. And what you're saying is, they have this windfall, you might as well encourage them and make them invest it in our public schools and our communities.
Yes, because there's been a long-standing loophole for them. They don't get reassessed. Homeowners do. So at least we should make it equal, and they should get reassessed every several years, which is what this bill does.
So when we talk about, first of all, we've talked about the importance of strong funding for our schools, but what should that funding go for? A lot of people say, oh, yeah, it's not just money, but it's how you spend it. And it is how you spend it, isn't it?
That's true. And I think California stands out in having a very strong idea of how to improve schools. We call it the California way. You put strong instruction and curriculum at the center in a classroom. You make sure parents are involved with the decision-making under the local control bill. You engage teachers. You don't. We used to have a strategy called test and punish, and basically high-stakes testing and then doing something to schools and trying to do something to teachers. Rewarding and punishing, that didn't turn out too well in the rest of the country, and it sure didn't turn out well in California. We have an alternative strategy, which I call build and support, supporting our teachers, engaging our teachers, engaging students and the community and parents in an organized effort to improve schools. Start with a strong curriculum, build capacity around that, which means investing in staff and educational staff, and building teams at the school site to solve problems on a continual basis, making sure districts support that effort, finding good principals, training those principals, and most importantly, how do you reprofessionalize teaching? That means good recruitment, induction. It means support for them, mentoring them. It means career ladders where they can stay in the classroom and take on more responsibility. That's what our best districts have done, and that's what we need to do throughout the state.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW. Joining me is Bill Honig, who is the former superintendent of public instruction and has years and years of experience looking at schools, looking at the research, knowing what works and what to advocate for. There's a quote that I love, and I'd like you to react to it. And it is, "The day we turn our backs on public education is the day democracy dies." What do you see happening with that quote?
Well, I think that quote's accurate. From the start in this country, our founders understood that a government that rests on the intelligence and engagement of people, of its citizens, is not going to survive unless you invest in educating those citizens. And from Jefferson, Hamilton, on throughout throughout Horace Mann, the idea that we all have a stake. The reason that we pay, everybody pays for the children, whether they're your children or not, is that the whole country's survival rests on that. Now, that idea is under attack now by some very strong forces within California in part, but mainly in the rest of the country. Our current administration in Washington has been hostile to public education, cutting its funding, trying to privatize the schools or provide funds for privatization. And there are people saying, why do we have a public sector? Why not just have everybody privatize it and go back to the way it was in the 19th century? And I think we have to argue again the importance to democracy of a strong public school system. This brings up the issue, what are schools for? Obviously, they're for getting kids and students good jobs. That's important. But they're also for developing citizenship and engagement and willingness to engage in civic understanding and participation. That's important. And the third major goal is we would like each student, every child in this state, in this country, to reach potential, to develop character, to be able to build on the interests and abilities that they have. So this whole idea of individual development is also a third goal that's crucial.
I know you've taken a look at the whole issue of privatization and choice, and essentially have come to the conclusion that choice by itself doesn't improve schools. The research, what does it say?
Well, the research is private school choice has not, on the whole, improved the quality or performance of schools. There's some charter schools, for example, that are excellent, and High Tech High and Aspire and so forth. There are some that are terrible. But on the whole, they're not a panacea as a way to improve public education. And in fact, if you don't have strong accountability and you allow profit motive to become involved, which has happened in California too often, where people set up sweetheart deals with themselves and sell, they start a charter school, even if it's nonprofit, they set up a company to sell materials to it at high prices, they pay themselves salaries. That has got to stop. And there is a movement in the legislature now, supported by the school community and parents and so forth, to put an end to that or to close those loopholes. The other problem with choice is choice is fine, but one choice should be for parents to have a quality local community school. And all too often, people don't talk about that or aren't willing to invest in that local public school. They just say charter schools right away. And that should not be the first choice. The first choice to give parents is, if you like your local school, if you want to keep it, then let's improve it.
I'd really like to thank Bill Honig for joining me, talking about the importance of protecting quality education. This is Carol Kosovar. Looking at Education on KALW.